Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
This episode is brought to you by Patreon.com/SBFVGS. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 127. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Popinjay Lopez.
Popinjay.
I don't know what it means.
That sounds like I had a cool uncle.
Everyone
called him Popinjay.
Is Popinjay his dancing name? Like Poppin' and Lockin' Jay?
100%, yeah. Popinjay now, Vanilla Destiny getting down. On the ones and twos.
Vanilla Destiny, of course, is my dancing name.
Yeah, Pop I don't and even Jay have one is, yet.
It's my, well, Poppin' Jay, it's like a fancy man, a fancy lad.
Oh, so maybe
but like it. Sometimes it has the connotation of like being a maybe a conceited fop.
Mm.
But I don't think you're conceited. I just think you're very fancy sometimes.
It's fine.
You're just running out of alliterations is really what I'm hearing here.
Platinum Poppin' Jay. But yeah, and that other voice you're hearing is David forgot to bring his Switch to a New York rooftop party.
So embarrassed. I finally got invited, guys, to like to a rooftop. Real, legit rooftop party.
He was on the rooftop.
People, all kinds of young people having fun there. I did not bring my Switch. And yeah, I was going to. I actually thought about I thought about bringing my Switch just so I could take a picture with it, and Adam and Mike could finally stop giving me crap about not ever bringing my Switch to rooftop
David,
parties.
David, if only you knew how many people, the second you walked in, whispering behind your back, like, oh, he didn't bring the Switch. He was supposed to bring the Switch.
I'm sure they all did. I'm sure all of them were very disappointed.
Yeah. I feel like if you pop out the Switch at a rooftop party in New York, Karen shows up immediately. I think it's almost like Bloody Mary.
You
put the Switch out and she's there in the mirror.
That's true. Ooh. And you know, we all know how I've been pining for was it Mary? Was that her
Karen.
Name?
Karen.
Karen. Ever since that pretty commercial, sure, yeah. I've been just pining away, just waiting for Karen to enter my life. And if I brought my Switch, she would have. And
would have. Yeah.
I could be
there you have
happily
it,
married by now.
You spin three times with your Switch. You say Karen, 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 and there she is.
There she is, just like Beetlejuice. I love it. Hey, thank you for that introduction, Adam, the beast, cool beast shirt wearing guy.
All right. Thank you. The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. Now, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you playing at?
Oh, man, I even wrote down the games I've been playing because I've actually finally left my slump of game, like not wanting to play games. But then I realized I have no way to access that list. Unless
I'm down.
I wrote it down in notes in Apple. And so I'm cleverly disguising my logging in by talking over it.
Okay, you want me to go through what I was playing? Because it's not very much.
Yeah, go for it, Mike.
All right,
yeah,
you go for it, Mike.
So first of all, let me apologize. Everyone has to hear me like this. I'm very sick.
Yeah.
I will edit
you
out.
You sound fine.
I will edit out all the sneezes and sniffles and all the gross stuff for the podcast listeners, but people watching the stream right now, you just have to deal with it. I'm sorry. So I've been playing, obviously, Pokemon Go. I mean, it's new radar
obviously.
Today.
Obviously.
We all know. David got me, like, super hardcore back into this game.
Yes.
Plays it all the time.
Yes.
He won't stop talking about it, so here we are.
That's me.
Besides Pokemon Go, though, I started playing Sky, which is that game company's, like, newest release iOS. I think it's either coming out in Android, like, really soon if it hasn't already come out. It's really, really cool. It has, like, these really cool... Adam, did you download it yet?
I downloaded it. I have not started it yet.
Okay. It's got these cool Journey vibes. I actually like it a lot. I haven't finished it yet. Put a couple hours into it, so I'm probably like really close to the end. The only thing I don't love about it, you know how in Journey, you will occasionally come across like another player, and you guys can partner up and kind of take that journey together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's not a two-player limit in this game, so it's like sometimes you walk in areas with like five people in it.
That sounds okay. Awesome to me.
It kind of is, except like when you walk into a new area and you're like, okay, so there's a door over there and there's going to be a puzzle I got to solve. Oh, five people already solved that puzzle and the door's open. So I don't really know what I was supposed to do in this area, but I guess I'm just going through the door and not going to explore anymore here.
I have a question. Is it a finite game or does it go on? Is it like longer than Journey?
I don't know because I haven't beaten it yet.
Okay.
But at the moment, I don't think it's going to be that much longer than Journey, so we'll see.
Hmm.
And it's supposed to be about sharing and friendship, but can I play it alone?
That's all I want to do, you know? I just want to
solo this bad boy, you know what I mean?
That's all.
Can you play it offline?
I'll start it and then disable my wireless.
Yeah, you know, I didn't try that. I will try that next time and see if that works.
Hack
probably,
in the system.
Probably won't.
Yeah. And then besides that, I've been playing Sekiro. I've completed like I think two trophies left.
Yes.
But one of them is I have to grind out like all the skills in the game, and I'm kind of doing some math in my head, and I think it might be faster instead of grinding out that much XP just to start the game over on New Game Plus 2 or 3, whatever I'm on now. Start playing through that way. So I'll let you guys know what I decide.
So you have all of the trophies except for two? Can you quickly walk us through how you got each of the other trophies?
Yeah, okay. So there's a trophy for beating each boss. So that's, you know, speaks for itself. And there's trophies for every, like, mid-boss. There's trophies for the different... I'm not going to go through all this. David will quit.
I'm just going to chat with our Twitch viewers while you do this. That's fine with me.
Our Twitch viewers probably love Sekiro. It's a great game.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's
putting words
game.
In their mouth, besmirching their good name.
Game. They love it. They love it, and it's the greatest game they've ever played. But David, what are you playing? Now that you have
I do have my list up. So I've been playing Super Mario Brothers. Nope, Super Mario Maker 2.
Yes.
I've made a couple levels. I think I made one by the last. I think I made one the last stream or the last episode. But now I've made another one. And I like it a lot. And people have given me hearts and comments on it and stuff. And not a lot, but like, you know, like 5-10 people have played it. I think I have an idea for another level that I think I'm going to make, too, which is weird. I just planned on playing the levels and then like dipping into like the popular levels every now and then. And that was just enough for me. But then lo and behold, I found myself making some Marios. So.
To Sekiro talk real quick. Isaac the Panda asks, is there a trophy for not getting frustrated while playing Sekiro?
I guess that's the ending trophies because you're gonna have to really persevere. It's not a short game.
Wow, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Enough of the Sekiro. No one cares about Sekiro. What they do care about though is I have been playing once again Skyrim.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw that the other day.
I cannot explain why I decided I need to play more Skyrim, but I definitely decided it. And so that's what I'm doing. For those of you at home who don't know, I've played a lot of Skyrim in my life.
Yeah.
On Steam alone, I've played 283 hours of Skyrim. So and I've played it on PS4. I've played it in PSVR. And now I'm playing it on my Switch.
You've beaten the game so many times.
No, I've beaten the game zero times.
Zero times.
So my goal this time, and I'm trying real hard, is to not get distracted by all the side quests and just do the mainline campaign so I can actually see like what the ending is like, because I have no idea. and we have a chat in there from Isaac the Panda that says, at this point, David, Skyrim is playing you.
And it's true, because you've bought it how many times?
Four times, I think.
Yeah.
Wait, PC, PS4, PSVR, Switch. Yeah, four times.
That's a little bunk that you had to buy it again on.
Yeah.
They need to buy it again on PS4.
But at the same time, I played 283 hours of it. Like, what other game can you play that many hours of, you know? Like
The Witcher 3.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, and actually, that seeing that Witcher 3, or the Witcher Netflix teaser from Comic-Con has made me really want to go back and play the Witcher game.
I would love to play the Witcher 3 and try to beat it, but I have the same problem in that game as I did in Skyrim. So I just get distracted by everything, and there's so much to do, and I will never beat it. So I never beat it.
Yeah, and it's like once you beat all the side quests in an area, like they just kind of like, they're like, oh, you like side quests, huh? Here's a bunch
more. Here's 70,000 more side quests.
Yeah. And you beat all those and like, oh, here's a bunch more. No problem. We already made 1,000 side quests.
Man. So, yeah, I've been playing Skyrim. I just got to the Greybeards, though, so I have a way to go. Borderlands 2 I've been playing.
Oh, okay.
Borderlands
2
is another one of those games where I get distracted by all the side quests and I have never beaten it. I bought that on PC, on Xbox 360, on PS4, and I finally just beat it on PC, which is the first one I bought it on. I just beat it for the first time in my life.
Nice.
And yeah, the really good ending sets up a sequel, which if I had beaten it back when the game came out, I would be so frustrated, like waiting.
Because what was that, 2011 or something?
A billion years ago.
It came out.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
So yeah, I'm very excited to see Borderlands 3. It just went gold, by the way. It's a little news blurb. Borderlands 3 just went gold. And yeah. Borderlands 2. I see Adam laughing about something here.
We have a weird side chat going on.
Yeah, and then see, here's real. I'm going to throw a little quick little plug in here. If you want to hear about these side chats and be in on them, you can join our Twitch stream live as we record. Twitch.tv/SBFVGS. Just a little plug for you. One other thing I've been playing. I tried Dr. Mario World.
On the phone.
Yeah, and I played 10 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And deleted the app.
It's disappointing, isn't
it's
it?
So bad.
Yeah, it's not Dr. Mario.
I did the same thing. It's way closer to a match 3 than it is a Dr. Mario game.
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah,
it bummed me out. I wanted to be able to play Dr. Mario on the go anyway.
On the toilet?
And you would think by getting a Dr. Mario game on your phone, that's exactly what you would get.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
Not so.
I don't know.
I don't understand it. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's what I've been playing at, Adam.
All right, good times. So yeah, I too played Dr. Mario World, and it was sadly disappointing. Of course, probably the thing I played the most this Fortnite, Pokemon Go, baby.
Yeah, for
Pokemon
sure.
Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. I've been so addicted.
I don't understand how you guys are playing this game.
I got to the party so super late, and now everyone else has left except for my Japanese friends who send me lots of gifts.
They're so nice.
And they're so nice and generous,
they're
all capped out at level 40. And so,
what are they getting out of it?
They love the generosity, I guess.
I guess.
Who doesn't
they're not
love
getting
not
any free gifts. I'm not complaining.
Their primary love language is gift giving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I told my wife that level 40 is the cap, and she was like, oh. So it's a race to level 40, is it? I was like, yes. Yeah, I'm trying to catch her. She's only like 2 million XP ahead of me because she played it for like the last 2 years. Yeah, I don't have to catch them all. I just want a Charizard that's like super BA. That's my main goal.
Now, do you mean
right
like shiny? Is that what you mean?
I just mean like a 3-star.
Oh,
you know,
I don't know
leveled
this.
Up quite a bit. That whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. You know. Well, sure. Whatever. I'm not sure.
Oh man,
he knows.
I have
he knows
no idea.
It all. David's the one who got me into.
I did
Pokemon
not.
Go.
I just had an account sitting there.
You
I had
invited
nothing
all
to do with any.
We stopped talking about it until we were all in.
But yeah, also I dipped into Sonic Mania. Finally.
Oh, it's so good! I love it.
Oh yeah, my daughter's playing that right now.
Yeah, I've got some impressions.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what to expect, really. Like, I haven't really played like a true 2D Sonic game in a long, long time. Like, I mean, I busted out the original Sonic on the Raspberry Pi that I built a little while ago, and maybe played a little Sonic 2, but you know, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. But Sonic Mania is like everything you loved about old Sonic games, but ramped up to the extreme. multiple paths through the level, all these different connections, like where you can take the low route and then end up shooting up to the top, or, you know, there's, and gosh, the artwork, the music, the design of everything, it's fantastic. So I think it's my favorite Sonic game I've ever played.
Yeah. Oh, well, 100%. I mean,
it is so good.
It's like the best of every Sonic game put into one game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
okay. So I'm loving that. I'm loving that. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, my gosh. All right. So that's what we've been playing at, right?
Yeah.
It is time for the news.
Wow. That's very good.
So good. I felt like maybe more rocking than usual.
A little more rocking. Yeah, a little stank on it, as they say.
Put some stank on it this week.
Yeah.
You guys, you read the news.
Okay.
I'm gonna go blow my nose.
Oh, no.
I mean, I could do that on camera, but...
I say go for it. Just mute it for the audio.
We'll find a very specific type of viewer. That's into that. I don't know if I can handle that right now.
It's like, I don't know what happened, Mike, but when you started blowing your nose on stream,
we got like 500.
We got like five extra viewers immediately.
You.
Gross. Yeah, I don't want to be part of that stream.
There are dozens of us. Oh, gosh. All right. So let's see what tickles my fancy here in the news.
Now, in case you guys don't know how this works, we have a subreddit. It's reddit.com/r/sbfvgs, or is it /u? Is it /r or /u?
/r. Okay. Yeah. reddit.com/r/sbfvgs.
You can submit news stories that you see throughout the fortnight there and upvote on them or downvote on them. And Adam will usually pick the ones that are the highest voted, but sometimes he goes rogue and picks whatever he wants. So anyway, you can sometimes help shape this part of the show just by going to reddit.com/r/sbfvgs and submitting news stories. So thanks.
Yeah, no, I'll read the top upmost voted.
Okay.
Let's get crazy, you know?
Yeah, why not? You're not driving.
I'm not driving. So, let's see. Well, I have to skip the top one because we're actually going to be talking about that a bit later in the show.
Okay.
Yes, but I do have to say Outer Worlds, the new Obsidian Entertainment RPG.
Not to be confused with Outer Wilds, by the way.
Yeah, totally different.
Totally different game.
Outer Worlds coming to the Switch.
That's pretty cool. I'm very excited about that game. I think it looks like a smaller Fallout.
Yeah.
Which I played Fallout 4. I liked Fallout 4, but I could not
Small out.
Small out.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
It's small. Yeah. The Outer Wilds is small out. And I'm very excited. I could probably beat this version of Fallout because it's not too long. So
yeah. So I think that's pretty cool. It's not going to come right away. And I believe it's another studio that's porting it to the Switch.
Probably. That's how that usually happens.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a really cool game. And that sounds like a cool way to play a super long RPG. Even though it's small out, it's not going to be quite as long as. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
Out is so good.
Media Molecule is hiring development teams to create games in dreams.
That's
you hear about this one?
Amazing.
Cool. You hear about this, guys?
Yeah, I heard about it, Jay Leno. Yeah.
Hear about this one?
I definitely heard about this one. It's really cool. Like, I would love to see, like, I don't know, let's see, let's say 50 people making, like, professional dreams level creators. That's such a cool idea to me. Like, they've created their own, like, what do you call that? Like a new industry, basically, of like creating video games within a video game. And I love it.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. So, I mean, do you think it's to kind of accelerate the good content that's out there?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's that. I think, you know, like maybe the momentum of this soft launch that they did is not super fast, like they were hoping for more or something. Maybe it's a little bit of that, but also I think that they just genuinely want to like show their biggest fans that they value them, you know what I mean? Like put some money on how much they value this, these members. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to put into words what I'm trying to say exactly, but
yeah,
it's like you show someone, like you can show someone you love them, you know, all kinds of different ways. And one of the ways is by giving them some,
a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving them some money.
A lot of money.
Exactly.
Money.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, like parents all paying right. for their kids' college or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a sugar daddy.
Or like a sugar daddy, sure. That's right. Not where I was going with that. But
so this is kind of an insane one. And we considered using this as our topic this fortnight. But yeah, this is a story. There's a story on Kotaku. And it's about how over 25 people got scammed into working at a non-existent game company.
This is so sad.
So sad and insane. Weird. I don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So basically... I mean, I'm going to oversimplify here, but there was a small studio with a game called Zeal, and they were kind of hard up for money. And they were contacted by a man named Rana Mahal, who was going by Kova online. And basically he had essentially started a fake studio. there was no like actual business license. There was no business there. Mm-hmm. There was no money really. But he kept saying, "Oh yeah, yeah, we're about to get investment from this company and that company," and basically kept just blowing smoke and spinning this yarn, and got 25 developers to sign up to work for his fake studio.
But he was telling them it was like 60 developers too.
Yeah, to come work on this game that he didn't have rights for, and then he eventually got the rights holders of the game to actually partner with him.
Yeah, they were working with his team to create yeah. their own game that he didn't they're have the rights their, to.
Yeah, they're creating their own game with him for no money. And, oh gosh.
Did you get to the part where it wasn't even a real company? Like, it was not registered with Canada. It wasn't registered anywhere.
No. Yeah, not a real Crazy. Company whatsoever. Zeal looks like a pretty cool game from what I've seen of the pre-alpha stuff, but
yeah,
yeah, I guess yeah. Those guys are still plugging away on it, and I think at least one of the folks that was working with them, this fake company, has like come on board to continue to work with them for still no pay. No one's making any money until that game starts to sell something. But
hey, you know what? This could be a blessing in disguise, because maybe it'll attract some attention and people will actually back it.
A real investor, that'd be super awesome.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an insane story. It just shows you, like, you know, a lot of people. I mean, some of these were like real, like seasoned game developers, you know, mm-hmm. being kind of pulled into this. Oh, this cool new company, you know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I've definitely in the music world, I've come across these types of people.
Oh,
there was this guy who wanted to manage our band back in the day.
Oh, I think I remember this guy.
Got all these contacts. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get you this showcase. You're gonna go on tour with these guys.
Yeah,
and then pretty soon it was just like, I think, like, we just started to get this vibe, like, you know what, I think he might be a huge liar.
Yeah.
Like, all the things he keeps promising never pan out for one reason or another, but he's like...
But the next big thing is always right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, it was the craziest thing. But
I
yeah,
think
so
a lot
I,
of that
kind
is
of,
self-delusion, too. Like, they're like...
Yes.
They're lying to themselves because they need this thing to work, and they can't give it up, and so they, like... You know, it's almost like what some people, like, okay, I was really shy when I was younger, and it was really hard for me to ask girls out. And so I would just like think in my head, well, maybe she likes me. Maybe, you know, maybe, oh, she did this thing. That must mean, okay, yeah, she probably likes me. Instead of like, and so yeah. like I convinced myself, instead of like going out there and like getting the info directly, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's what that kind of reminds me of. And it's a weird analogy, but
yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. So, I guess lastly, the PS5 reveal has impacted PS4 sales, Sony admits. And actually, all of the, well, with the exception of the Switch, the consoles right now have started to plummet as far as sales go, because everyone knows that the new ones are right around the corner.
Yeah,
so,
that's for sure. I will tell you, that was a very strangely timed announcement.
Yes.
Like the weirdest, I don't even understand. Like, maybe they thought Microsoft was going to like fully announce their console at E3 this year. That's the only thing I could think. But then Microsoft didn't really. They were just like, here's the code name and it's coming. Like, you know it is. And that was like all they said. Look, all the flops. And that was like,
so many flops, you guys.
Yeah, so I don't, it's that it, if no consoles are coming this year, I really don't think they should have talked about any consoles this year. I don't understand any of it.
I mean, if anyone still doesn't have a PS4 or an Xbox One at this point, yeah, you might as well just wait.
Well, that's
get
true.
Get the new awesome stuff.
But if
it's going to be backwards compatible, you know, if you for the games you missed, you know,
that's true. But
or it will be, or I'll eat my hat, David.
Yeah. At the same time, I could somewhat disagree, right? Like, we don't know what the PS5 is going to cost yet. We have some guesses.
Oh, that's true. It's going to be a million bajillion dollars, probably.
It could be. It could be, like, very reasonable. Although, I know Sony just made an announcement, like, today that if some of the new tariffs that the U.S. is talking about get imposed, then they may have to raise the price regardless of what they want to do.
Trump!
Yeah, we'll see.
Was that Wrath of
Khan
style?
Don't you mess with my video games.
It is one of those things, right? When you start to get into, like, the last year of a, you know, the last real year of a console. I mean, the PS4, they'll still have stuff coming out, but...
A little bit.
When you start getting that last year, like, you can get one, you can get really, really killer deals on a PS4. You can go get one for like $200-$250, usually in a bundle. And there's tons of great games at this point that have made over the last, you know, six, 7 years, and they're cheap. Like, you know, there's this ton of, like, you know, PlayStation Greatest Hits now. You can go buy tons of, like, fantastic AAA games for like $20 or less. So they're still, like, I mean, if you don't have a PS4, it's a great time to get one and get a ton of these games for cheap.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
And, you know, I will say, like, it's easy to say, like, oh, everyone who wants a PS4 probably already has one. But, like, if you look at the astronomical difference of, like, how many PS3s sold or Xbox 360 sold versus PS4 sold, like, clearly not everyone that wanted a PS3 got one. If you look at how many PS4s sold, you know what I mean?
Without getting into, like, a crazy topic territory, right? I think you could say that people that have waited the last, you know, 6 years and not bought a PS4 probably aren't buying a PS5 out of the gate. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and I guess Sony's obviously not worried about it because of the huge milestone they just hit, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, anyway, it's just kind of interesting to see. We're starting to wind down this generation. We're starting to get pretty close. I mean, we have a couple final, the grand finale is probably going to be The Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding, if it's good. We'll see. Mm-hmm. It looks nuts.
Yeah, it looks
sure looks crazy.
I think it's going to be pretty good.
All right. I think it is time for Mike Struggles to read the tweets.
Yay. I'm not sure how many tweets we have this time around.
Not too many. And it's honestly a blessing in disguise because I'm so sick. I don't want to read a bunch of tweets. So first up is Josh Bailey, who wrote in and said today is the, you know, we're recording on the 31st.
Oh, wow.
July. Yeah. Josh Bailey wrote and said, today is the 30th anniversary of the release of the Game Boy in North America. What are your favorite memories from the Game Boy?
Oh, man. The Game Boy is the very first console I ever bought with my own money.
Really cool.
Yeah, it had probably been out for about a year, I think, and I saved up. I want to say it was over $100 of my own money as a small child and bought this thing. And I only had Tetris, like, for the longest time. I only had Tetris, and it was so funny because I remember when you boot it up. Now I hope I'm not misremembering the game, but I remember at the beginning of the game it said Bulletproof Software.
I don't know.
And it might have been a different game I ended up getting on the Game Boy. But yeah, it said Bulletproof Software at the beginning, and there was this urban legend going around at my school at the time that it was actually bulletproof, that the Game Boy and cartridge was actually bulletproof, and that someone had gotten in a car accident and the Game Boy went flying out the window skidded down the road, but they could hear the Tetris music playing and that they were able to find it, and it was fine as bulletproof.
Oh my goodness. It was bulletproof software.
Yes. There. Okay.
Yeah,
there it is.
I just Googled it.
part of the show where we Google things.
That was it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was the only time I've Googled something ever. No,
I am. I'm split on my favorite Game Boy memory. It's either got to be just playing Link's Awakening. I really love that game on the Game Boy. But I think my favorite memory might be the Game Boy might be the only console to come out with enough peripherals to rival the Genesis as far as just like creating a monster, right? Like you'd see people that would have the Game Boy and the light you could see
little curly light.
Because it was then, not backlit.
Yep. And then the magnifier screen to make the screen look bigger. And then the little speakers that would attach to the outside.
I forgot about those. What about like a battery pack?
This thing looked like a transformer by the end of it. Yeah, the battery pack. It was insane. you used to go into like Toys R Us and buy what was tantamount to a briefcase to keep your Game Boy and all of its accessories in.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's absolutely insane. Go Google a picture of that. It's fantastic.
Everyone knows it was all about, at that time, just getting a fanny pack. You slip the Game Boy and your Walkman in there. And then you can listen to tunes and play the Game Boy whenever
you're the super coolest, front heavy.
You'd be the coolest person from the 90s ever. Make sure.
And if you stumble, you're very front heavy, so you fall right on your face. Just be careful.
Make sure the fanny pack is bright neon colored with some zigzags and some circles.
Luckily enough, though, if you do fall forward, Game Boy's bulletproof.
It's true. It's bulletproof, so that means fallproof by default. So I will say my favorite Game Boy memory, it's kind of a weird one, actually. Two of them. One, it was my Game Boy, but my sister and my mom also played it all the time. And one time I came home from wherever I was, and I discovered that my Game Boy had suddenly had a new sticker on it. And it basically my sister had decided to make my Game Boy bright pink with a sticker that she just put on top of it. It was like a high tech pink, but like circuit boards and stuff showing. It was disgusting. I don't even know if I could find a picture of what it looked like, but I tried taking it off and it wouldn't come off. So my Game Boy was just hot pink the rest of its existence. And then my other happy memory, was my mom stealing my Game Boy for days at a time to just play Tetris. Like she would not stop playing Tetris. And
so good.
It's the only game other than like solitaire. It's the only game my mom has ever loved, which is just hilarious to me. So there you go. And also, you know, I remember I owned the game Yoshi, that like puzzle game. That's the game I played the most on Game Boy.
Okay,
man. The sticker thing reminds me of when, back in the PS1 days, remember PSM magazine? And they would have the lid stickers inside the magazine.
Oh, I forgot about those.
So you like peel it off and slap it on top of your PlayStation on the disc lid, you know?
Would they come off?
So funny thing is, I guess I packed my PS1 away into the box, into the garage, and I kept all those old consoles, but like, I busted it out to put it in a little display case at one point, like a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And the PlayStation still had like a big fat happy face lid sticker on it.
Oh, I remember that lid sticker.
And it took hours to get it off.
Oh, man.
I finally got it off, but man, it was brutal. So, yeah. Be careful out there, kids.
Lots of goo gone.
Don't put stickers on things.
Yeah, don't put stickers on things. But the funny part is, I don't know if this was your experience, I did the same thing. You finally get that sticker off. You've liberal amounts of goo gone.
Yeah.
And that top lid is like a different color than the rest of the console because it's been like air sealed from any sun damage.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Yeah. It took like the whole span of a movie. While my whole family's watching a movie, man. I'm just sitting here like, come on.
What was I thinking?
I don't know what it is about technology from that era, but all of it is a different color now than it was originally. And that's just so weird to me. Like, you know, what?
Especially the lightly colored stuff. It just turned like the gross yellow.
It's so weird. I don't remember if this is true or not. I thought it was like a chemical that was added to provide some level of like heat resistance or fire resistance or something like that. And then over time, that chemical like corroded the color of the plastic.
Well, it's gross.
I could be making that up.
And they shouldn't have done it. It's gross.
Yeah.
You just gotta own it. Say it like it's 100% true and no one would ever doubt it.
that's it, right?
That's my uncle's trick.
That's true. Yeah.
That's like the uncle move. Once you become an uncle, you acquire a skill where you can say any random thing and have it sound totally real.
Oh, man.
Even if you don't know what you're talking about whatsoever.
Pro tip.
Oh, David, you're an uncle.
I am an
now.
Uncle. I've done it. By mistake. I've said things like, oh, I think, like in my head, I'm saying it very clearly. Well, I think in Fortnite, if you do this, this happens. And then my nephew will like tell his friends, look, my uncle told me if you do all this, this happens in Fortnite. So
yeah, you start telling your nephew that you work at Nintendo.
No, I'm not doing any of that. But I do tell him I work on The Greatest Showman because I did. And he loves that movie. So
it's a good movie.
So there you go.
This is the greatest show.
Right yeah. there.
Mm-hmm. Our second and last question.
We had another question?
We did.
Oh. Yeah.
Fed Gamer wrote in and said, could Arnie be a pal and wish me a happy birthday?
Whoa.
I'm turning 38.
38?
38.
Wow.
And by wish me,
wow.
I mean, sing me happy birthday in a duet.
Uh-oh.
With Christopher Walken.
Oh, no!
it's quite a bold request.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Fed, you're in luck. Because it was the darnest thing. Arnold stopped by tonight. Mm-hmm. He's here, and he's ready. I've showed him the tweet. He's ready to sing. And I believe he made arrangements for Christopher Walken to stop by David's house.
Well, here's the thing. The thing you might not know about Christopher Walken is he's literally always in my apartment. I usually
it wasn't a far journey.
I avoid him as best I can, but he's always in a corner just sitting there like staring with his like intense eyes, you know, like he's just always there. I just try to avoid him, but I mean,
is he asking? Okay. Is he asking why you haven't opened his Pokemon Go presents yet?
Yeah, he was wondering, but I try to explain that game was, you know, that game's like 3 years old. I'm not.
Yeah, but it's good now, David. Mm. You played it when it was stupid.
Anyway,
now it's awesome.
Christopher Walken is here. Let me go get him. let's do this thing.
All right, Arnie, if you would. Hello. Hello, everybody. People on the stream can see my Arnie face, so you should come to twitch.tv/SPFVGS so you can see my face for real, because it's totally for real me.
Oh, man. I haven't docked in a while. I don't know how this is gonna go.
It's gonna go great because it's Fed's birthday, you see. Yeah. And he's turning 38.
Wow.
And it's time now. It's time for us to sing happy birthday.
All right, baby, let's do it.
All right, I'll sing one line and you sing another line and maybe we do the whole wrap up at the end together.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm in, baby.
All right, here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Fed.
Happy birthday to you, baby.
To you.
Oh, baby.
And many more on Channel 4.
Gotta run.
Wow.
Well done, Arnold. Well done.
Christopher Walken has not talked in like 6 months. He's very rusty.
Happy birthday to
Fed. Happy birthday,
who's
Fed.
Now 38. Which
happy
38
birthday.
Is the greatest of all ages.
I don't know about that. I am 38.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the greatest of ages.
It's the best. If it's the age that I am, you are, and Fed. Pfft. Best age.
I guess you've made your case.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when I get there.
Oh.
Mike is just a wee lass.
Just a
I'm
wee
so
lad.
Young.
Well, you guys, it is time to discuss Patreon.
Oh, it's very important to discuss that we discuss Patreon.
Patreon.com/SPFVGS, as we all know, is the greatest and best website to back this this podcast from. So you go to patreon.com/SBFVGS and you back with at least $1. $1 will get you early access to the episodes, of course, or you can watch it on the live stream. That's crazy. It's wild. It's
wacky stuff.
But yeah, the that tier will get you the audio episode 3 days early, up to 3 days early. We'll see. You know,
it's not always.
$2 tier gets you access to the Patreon exclusive minisodes, which are only found there.
One going
That's
live
what exclusive means
next week.
Yeah, maybe. possibly if it's good. We got to edit it and listen to it.
Yeah, that's my job. I gotta do that.
Yeah, so, and of course there are other more glorious tiers as well, such as getting a jar of David's bathwater, etc. Mm-hmm.
Apparently
so,
that's a tier now. I don't remember yes. agreeing to that.
I don't. Well, you know, that's a, we just have to charge enough to make it worthwhile, David.
Yeah,
I mean, it's easy for me to do. I take baths sometimes.
Oh man,
sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, help us hit that next Patreon goal, and we would be eternally grateful. Again, that is patreon.com/sbfvgs, the greatest and best way to support this podcast.
Yes.
There was madness in any direction.
Topic time, meat and potatoes, gentlemen. What should we talk about?
Well, here's the thing. It was supposed to be Mike coming up with the topic this fortnight.
Yeah. Indeed. And then instead, David came up with a great topic that I think we should dive right into.
I think we've decided yeah. not to go with my joke sure idea. That was meant
only... Are you sure
only...
you don't want to preview it for the folks at home?
It was meant only for Mike and Adam.
Only for me.
Maybe that would be a good Patreon-exclusive minisode, that topic, David.
Mm. Okay, yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
It makes me feel... No. It was a joke, and it's not one of those jokes that everyone needs to hear, is what I think.
Please, guys, please. No, okay. Mike, your topic, good sir.
So the real topic, which I didn't actually pick, even though I was supposed to, was that PlayStation 4 has crossed 100 million units shipped.
Wow.
Which is pretty dang impressive. Mm-hmm. It's the fastest console ever to cross that threshold. I think at that point, it hit that number faster than the PS2 did.
Yes.
And then I think faster than the Wii did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see if long-term sales, you know, still eclipse those two consoles, but at least from just a pacing standpoint, it's sold 100 million consoles just ridiculously fast.
Yeah. 100 million is that's a pretty exclusive club. There's yeah, only a handful
a lot
in
of consoles.
There.
So I mean, yeah. they're doing yeah. something right. So I just kind of wanted to talk about just the scale of that number. Like, what does that number actually mean? You know, what do we think kind of tied into that type of success? Do we you know, think that other consoles, like maybe the Switch or the Xbox One, do we see them hitting, you know, similar success markers like that? Except in a way more interesting way than what I just said, which was very businesslike.
So because
I'm sick and I'm reading this off my phone.
Yeah, I have a real problem. One of my weaknesses is... what's the word? It's like wrapping my head around gigantic numbers like 100 million. Mm-hmm. My brain cannot imagine how many people that is. So
it's about 100 million.
Well, yes, I know. But like what? There's how many people live in New York? Like, is it like 6 million people? Something like that?
You live in New York. You should be able to tell us right off the top of your head.
I think it's around 6 million people. But so like that is like. Way less than how many PS4s have sold. And
yeah, 8.6 million as far as in 2017
wow.
lived in New York City.
That's
wow.
So that's a lot of people. And New York City is loaded with people. There are people everywhere, all over the place. You can't go anywhere.
So this is a bigger number than 10 New York cities.
Ugh. It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
That is madness. Well, and a lot of people double dipped.
That's
generation.
True. I double dipped.
So that's the, I think that's probably a good first point, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people bought the PlayStation 4 like right when it came out or shortly
yep.
after.
Mm-hmm.
And then about halfway through the generation went and got a PS4 Pro.
I sure did.
Or like in
you
my
did,
house,
Mike?
We just have.
Yeah, I have a PS4 Pro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I got that 4K TV. I gotta put my 4K
yeah.
games.
Mm-hmm. He had to.
Mm-hmm.
He was honor bound.
Honor
yeah.
bound.
So or like for us, my son wanted one for his own room, so he got a the Slim when that came out. So
Oh yeah.
So you double dipped too.
Yeah, we have two PlayStation, and I was tempted to buy a third one to get the Pro. So yeah, it's one of those things. I think just because it became so ubiquitous that it ended up becoming a thing that a lot of people bought more than one of. So I think that is obviously one huge contributing factor, the mid-gen refresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so
being,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think to take it back a little bit, you know, we really didn't have a solid Japanese console to compete with the PS4 when it came out, right? Like, all we had coming out of Japan was the Wii U at that point.
Okay. You know?
So I think the failure of the Wii U actually lends some more success to the PS4 over there. Mm-hmm. And also over here, because Nintendo's huge in America. And not many people, I think it's what, 13 million people bought Wii U's. I was one of them.
Yeah, me too.
I liked my Wii U.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people just skipped it, or they didn't know it was a new console. They thought it was some kind of peripheral for the Wii, you know?
Yeah.
And Nintendo could never shake that. And I think not having that competition, kind of paired with the obvious thing that, you know, has been discussed, you know, ad nauseum, right? Which is the botched announcement and reveal and early price point of the Xbox One.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Xbox, you know, like Microsoft came out at E3 and they were like, mm-hmm, showing off. They're like, all right, we're coming out with Xbox One. And first of all, everyone's like, what, Xbox One? What about Xbox 360? This is like a, mm-hmm, this is a step back. Like, so that was already bad. The name was bad. Then
like, that's 359 less.
Exactly. and then, so there was that problem. And then they had the problem of like, you know, they had this grand idea of like, you're going to watch all of your TV through our Xbox and all of your content is coming through the Xbox and your Xbox. Mm-hmm. Look at all these movies and shows you can watch on your Xbox. And people are like,
and they were banking so hard on the camera.
Oh, yeah. The Kinect is integral to Xbox One and you're going to need, mm-hmm, it. And it's going to make your life amazing. And then they're, mm-hmm, like, and you're always going to have to be online. And every game you buy, even discs, are going to have to be online so that you can play your game. Otherwise, you...
It was a dark time. It was a dark time for Microsoft.
Although I will say that is how all of the digital games that I bought for my PS4 work as well. Like, I have to be...
It's that crazy thing, right? Where they weren't... Microsoft wasn't wrong about where the future of games was going.
They just didn't talk about it.
They didn't talk about it the right way. Mm-hmm.
They made it sound super unappealing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the PR was awful.
And then Sony's PR came up with the brilliant idea of saying, this is how you lend a game to your friend on PS4. And they had a copy of a disc in their hand, and they gave it to the other guy on stage, and it was like the most simple thing ever.
Yeah, and so I want to highlight some of the personalities, too, around the PS4 launch, because you had this, it was kind of like the golden era, as far as I'm concerned, with like Sony personalities becoming kind of the faces and the PR centers for the console. Like, you had Adam Boyes, mm-hmm, you had Nick Sutner, you had Shuhei Yoshida, you know, all those guys were kind of like taking different wings, right? And being the the likable guy, right? Now, mm-hmm, you have what's the Xbox? Phil Spencer. Yeah.
Okay.
Now you have Phil Spencer on the Xbox side kind of doing that, right? He's doing a very good job of being that likable face of the company for Xbox. And Sony actually has pulled back on having Shuhei be quite so out there all the time.
I can't think of a single personality that Sony has now.
Yeah, so it's kind of flipped.
Except for Cerny.
Because now Nick
Cerny is out there.
is Mark Cerny here, David, by chance?
I would just like to spend some time today talking about checkerboard rendering on the PS5.
So anyway, so yeah, I think you had these strong personalities. Everyone liked those guys. And it definitely helped that you know, to segue with the Nick Suttner thing, mm-hmm. that he was helping pull in a ton of quality indies for the that kind of post-launch lull, right? You have a, usually with any console, you have this batch of games that launches right with it, right? Third party, maybe a couple first party, and then you have usually a pretty long lull before your other studios are ready or before those studios are ready for another release. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was so amazing to have kind of top tier indies like Housemarque cranking out games like Resogun, you know, and there were some fantastic indies right there ready to go, and some of them not ready to go for years, but some of them at least announced right there at the beginning of PS4 that kind of gave it the feeling of having more momentum, I think, than it might have otherwise.
Yeah, and I will say that's something Nintendo seemed to learn from. Because when their Switch came out,
absolutely,
you know, the Switch came out, Breath of the Wild came out, everyone played that for like a month, and then we all kind of beat it, and we're like, what now? Oh, look at all these new indie games that are dropping. Look, oh, that looks fun. That looks pretty cool.
It's been a brilliant success for them too. And now the Switch is kind of where you go for your indies.
Yeah.
They kind of stole. It used to be. It's strange because it was the 360 to begin with.
Yeah, it was the 360
and the PC.
Well, of course, PC always. All along, even really. Still, PC is still really good for
even
indies.
Still.
But
PC is still the best actually because you get the indies like a year or two before everyone
even
else
ready.
Typically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you had it came to the 360 first. That's kind of what started it all. Then PlayStation was like, oh crap, we got to do that too. And then PS4 became the home of the indie for a while. And now, it's totally the Switch.
Yeah.
Yep. Interesting.
It is.
Yeah. I think to switch gears a little bit, the Switch has really, taken some hard looks, I think, at Sony's playbook and are following them pretty long to pretty great success, right? They're using the indie strategy. They did a mid-generation, second console release with the Switch Lite.
Yeah, and the other one, the kind of more battery sales. Life one.
Yeah, the other one that's coming out. It's coming out this year, right?
I think so.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I still want a Switch that's super duper Switch. Like it's the Switch that can run 4K or something.
I want my Switch
Scorpio. Yeah, the Switch Scorpio.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I want to say to get into like the the boring business numbers of it. I think Switch sales. I think they're tracking along the same pace. Like they're obviously not at 100 million yet, but for where they're at, they're tracking like almost 1-to-1 with where PS4 was at that point in its sales life.
Yeah,
yeah.
So if Switch keeps that momentum going, then they should also be surpassing 100 million sales on the Switch.
Yeah, I don't see that happening for the Xbox One, given that PS4 and Xbox One are starting to slow down, sales wise. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think the PS4 will sell through because right now this is shipped, right? Yeah. But I think they will actually sell through the 100 million before it's all said and done. I don't know that it'll have the same kind of tail. Like we mentioned, PS2 had this insane tail. I think it sold 150 million,
something like that. Yeah.
And that's unheard of, right? That's half again the number that PS4 is celebrating. So but like I think the difference there is that a lot of those were sold post PS3, and it was because it was a cheap DVD player that could also play video games, and at the time that was still a pretty valuable proposition, especially the PS2 was still selling pretty well in different parts of the world, well into the PS3 life cycle. So, it's one of those things that I don't see that happening for the PS4. There's not like the same kind of, lightning in a bottle with regards to like, the PS4 is like a Blu-ray player, but the PS3 was also, and so is everything else now,
And also so I think at the end of the PS2 life cycle, there were still so many games coming out. Like games were just coming out for the PS2, like left and right, and that doesn't
God of War 2 came out after the PS3.
Yeah, and that does not seem to be the case with the PS4. Like I don't even know what else is coming out on the PS4. Like
okay, so as far as big first party exclusives thing,
or first party ish like was God of War 2 a first party game? It was
I don't know. That's Sony Santa Monica. Okay. But yeah, the I do see now. Here's the thing with that. It'll be interesting to see over the next couple of years is with 100 million PS4s sitting there. out there in the wild. A lot of them still in great working order, being PS4 Pros or whatever. You know, like I have a feeling we'll still see a lot of cross-generational support from third parties.
Yeah, like between PS3 and PS4, like how they released games on both for a while.
Yeah exactly. Like I think you're still gonna see your Call of Duties and your Battlefronts and your sports games and your Assassin's Creeds all coming to PS4 still for quite a while, with this insane install base. You know
what'd be really cool is if there was crossplay between PS4 and PS5 for starters.
Yeah,
so like everyone who bought the Call of Duty for PS4 could play with everyone on Call of Duty for PS5. Also would be cool is if you bought the PS4 version, if you popped it into a PS5 because of backwards compatibility, if it downloaded like a PS4 Pro style patch and just became the PS5 version.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that. I'm interested to see how they pull that off.
This is
honestly,
the first
because, like,
backwards
it's
compatible
gonna be weird.
Like generation.
Yeah. It's going to be weird to see a disc in the store, right? And there's like the PS5 version of the same game and the PS4 version of the same game sitting there.
And they can
both
play in the PS5, allegedly.
Yes.
So
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Interesting.
But yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And I think it's also an interesting point. Even though I don't think PSVR has been a huge system seller for them, I think it's mostly people who already have a PS4 and who are interested in VR. But you know, they Sony has been really the only console maker taking VR seriously this generation.
I can't remember exactly. I think they sold something like over 3 million, which doesn't seem like a huge number. It might be more than that at this point. But
that's less people than live in New York City, Mike. Come on,
it is
not interested.
But I think the interesting thing, as far as, you know, Sony was concerned, that was more than they expected to sell.
Oh,
you know, they thought the PSVR would be like super duper niche. And, you know, we compare it to 100 million consoles. It still is. But, you know, they sold through way more of those things than they thought they were going to. And I think VR is becoming more and more ubiquitous. You know, you've got the Oculus Quest out now that doesn't require like almost anything else.
You've got the really cheap Oculus Rift S, which is like, it's just basically you get the headset. And you don't need any external cameras or anything. You get the headset and you get the controllers, and it's $300, and you've got full fledged PC VR in your home. Like, that's cheap and amazing. I'm actually really I'm like this close to buying one. I'm this close.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that.
Yeah. Big city tank.
It's just $300, guys. It's chump change. I got that.
It's practically free.
I've got that buried in my couch cushion right behind me here.
And I mean, I guess the last one that I can think of that is the biggest and most obvious one, really, is the strength of the first party lineup for Sony this generation.
Best first party lineup.
It's been insane.
Other than Nintendo.
Oh, it has been insane. Yeah, and really, it is the best first party lineup for the style of games that they make out there.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, nobody else comes close. And it's pretty insane to see God of War, you know, Spider-Man just last year. Right. Yep. And Spider-Man just was announced that it was like the highest selling superhero video game of all time in the U.S. It's NPD. Mm-hmm. So it's U.S. numbers. And that includes like the Arkham games, which were on PlayStation, Xbox, PC, you know, all these multi-platform games, you would think, oh, obviously those beat Spider-Man, but no, Spider-Man somehow
that makes no sense to me.
Dominating everything. Yeah. And part of it's because, there's 100 million PlayStation 4s out there. But also because it's an exceptionally great game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it came out in the middle of Marvel Fever.
That's true. Yeah.
So, it's one of those things. But like, we still haven't even seen The Last of Us, but
part two.
You know, we're still The Last of Us Part Two, yeah. But we did see a remake of the original one on the PS4.
Uncharted 4,
Horizon. Which was fantastic. Horizon Zero Dawn, like, that game blew my mind. Did you ever finish that one, David?
It lost me again.
How could you?
It keeps losing me.
No. How could you do this?
It's the same thing
David?
As The Witcher and Skyrim, except for that I don't love the world as much in that game as I love Skyrim. So That's why I keep going back to Skyrim and I don't keep coming back to Horizon.
It's got robot dinosaurs, David. I don't know what else
I like
do.
Real dinosaurs. If you look at my shirt,
it's basically Transformers.
Give me
Beast Wars.
Real dinosaurs or nothing. Jurassic Park, baby.
Yeah, that is one game PS5 wise that I'm just
can't wait.
So excited to play the sequel to that game. But yeah, and another thing kind of carrying into the next generation, right? Like, I already know, and I've said this on the show before, but I already know I have to buy the next Sony console to get whatever Naughty Dog's working on, to get Horizon 2, to get the next God of War, presumably another Spider-Man game. Yep. Like, there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, in the last few years, I have kind of shifted into being more of a PC gamer. My two main consoles are PC and Switch nowadays, because like I love high frame rates. I'm kind of a junkie for like 60 frames per second minimum, but I have a monitor right over here that can do 144 frames per second. So, and like, it's weird because
that's too many frames.
You'd think
that
there'd be no difference between 60 and 144. Like, how can you see more than 60 frames per second? But you can, and it's crazy. And it makes aiming in, like, first-person shooters, for example, so much more accurate. It, like, helps your brain react faster. It's weird. It's the craziest thing, but it's true.
I don't like that. I like reacting a little more slowly, taking my time.
Well, 30 frames per second for you. Maybe you prefer to play it like N64 frames per second, like 20 frames per second.
I actually did prefer The Last of Us in the 30 frames
it's
per
gross.
Second.
Gross.
So I did with the cinematics, but not with the aiming.
Yeah, exactly. The gameplay is worse at 30 frames per second, 100%.
Yeah.
It just is. There's no debate.
It's debate. I would
well, there's like that infamous scene where you're hanging upside down
in
The Last of Us, and you're trying to shoot, you're trying to aim.
I couldn't do it on PS3.
And like,
PS4
I died so many times on the PS3, and then I played it on PS4, and I was at that scene, and I was like, I'm switching to 60 frames. And I did it, and I was like, oh, boom, first shot. And I got it. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, first try, I made it through that.
There's your case in point, Mike.
I didn't have a problem with that section that you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sounds like a game.
Hey, you know what game you love right now? Sekiro? That's 60 frames per second, pal. Read it and weep. Mic drop.
Ooh, it's fine.
In your face.
You liked it so much better than whatever that other game was that they made.
I never actually looked up the frame rate. I had no
It is
idea.
60 it frames per second.
It didn't matter whatsoever.
It mattered, and that's why you love it
and
so
playing,
much.
I'm playing Sekiro on the PS4, so I will say it's probably not always 60 frames per second.
It is always 60 frames per second.
I've seen some pretty good slowdown.
They've targeted
Your
60
mom's
frames
always 60 frames a second, David.
I think that about
Let's
wraps
stop talking
up
because,
this topic.
Yeah, I want to go to bed.
Yeah. Get to bed, Sicky.
I'm like melting.
Hey, don't melt. We're doing a podcast. You need to at least wait to melt until after we say goodbye to everyone.
Okay, let's do that right now.
End of the show plugs for men and women and AI. Keep up with us at sbfvgs.com. That's where you can find links to our episodes, social media, Twitch channel, merchandise, and more. Of course, if you like what we do, you want to see us doing more of it, best ways to support, patreon.com/sbfvgs. Subscribing on twitch.tv/sbfvgs. If you have that Amazon Prime, you can get a free subscription. We'd love to have it. Thank you. We love you. And also, leave us a delightful iTunes review if you have a minute, you know? It helps. It helps people find the show. Yeah. It's a good time. And it's fun. You know, you'll find as you're writing paragraph upon paragraph of, you know, they're so wonderful, things like this, you'll find that it builds you up, too.
It makes you feel much better about yourself because you just know that all of those people feel so great about us. You know?
this is for you guys.
We're getting positive reviews for you. So help us out. Help us get more positive reviews by leaving more positive reviews for us.
Yes.
So that you can feel better about yourself.
Indeed. So a very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome globetrotting
Which
face.
Is going
to
be here, I think, the next time we record. I think he's going to be...
Awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be here. So we should...
In New York City?
So we should just have him on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like it. Yeah. I like it. He'll crowd. He can crowd into your TV,
yeah,
David.
Oh, yeah. We'll make it work. And I also want to say a quick shout out to everyone who stopped by tonight's stream. We had Isaac the Panda here. We had Know It Man. We had NTFTT Pod show up at the last second.
Yes.
Right under the wire.
No time for time travel.
No time. Yeah.
But there is time for Twitch streaming.
That's exactly right. Also, we got a follow from someone with Japanese characters in their name, and I can't read it.
That's probably one of my Poke friends.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's probably who it is.
One of my generous patrons on Pokemon Go. Yes. And yes, yeah. So thank you guys for watching on Twitch. Thank you guys for listening.
I just translated his
on
name
on podcast feeds.
I just translated his name in Google Translate. His name is apparently Uncle Firewolf. So thank you for the fire tonight.
Whoa. I know. That's I like
isn't that.
That
epic. So,
Uncle. Man, when you become an Uncle Firewolf, you also start being able to transform into a firewolf, you know, even if you don't really know how.
Uncle Firewolf is my favorite Pokemon.
I just evolved an Uncle Firewolf.
What kind of type is he? What type?
Oh, man, he's clearly a fire
true,
type.
Fire type. That makes sense.
Come on.
Ridiculous question.
You can follow us on Twitter at SPFVGS Podcast. I'm on there as well, Barry White. That's BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. And of course, you can feel free to send me a PSN friend request. I am Barry White on PlayStation Network. And let me see. I think probably Barry White everywhere. But yeah.
Sometimes there's an underscore, I think. But no, never.
No underscore. No, if you find an underscore Barry White, it's an imposter and a charlatan. So, all right, and that is all the time we have, you guys, for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 127. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more subtle Sony fanboy talk and other talk on gaming.
Yeah.
Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody. Yay! All right, here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Fed.
Happy birthday to you, baby.
To you.
Oh, baby.
And many more on Channel 4.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.